Before we continue with Na'il, I promised that I would finish telling, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story and address two more issues as I complete my sharing of a journey that has been ongoing now for the last year. I share one of these pieces because I think it's important because, as I said earlier today, it was on Na'ila last year, for the first time in my rabbinic career in this congregation, my voice buckled because it was when I saw so many people becoming bar and bat mitzvah who came up before the ark to open the ark toward the concluding part of the service. And because our children who were about to be married and another couple with whom I'm very close who were about to get married were up here, it became very emotional for me. And that happened one time during the year, and I wanted to just share that with you. It is something that when I mailed out to my support group, it is a tree of life to all who hold fast to it. Most of the time I was fine when I was here, but one day during services, I became dizzy during the Torah service when we take the Torah from the ark where it resides. Just before I had to take the Torah from the ark, I began to feel that I might keel over. I reached out and held onto the shelf of the ark where the Torah stands. I stood there holding on while we sang the prayer, which is appropriate to this time. The feeling passed, and as I took the Torah and handed it very quickly to the young man who would carry it around the sanctuary, the prayer refers to the Torah as a tree of life to all who hold fast to it. Yesterday, holding on fast to that ark gave me the strength to continue the service, which was filled with hot flashes, sweats, and what was becoming the usual frequent ongoing trips to visit with nature. I found new meaning in the strength which holding fast to our beliefs and faith can give us, because I did have a sense of renewed energy after this experience. I sometimes believe that I feel best during this process when I can hold on to hope and can continue to plan for a time when this will all be over. It is a tree of life to them that hold fast to it, and all of its supporters are happy. I don't know what works for you. What worked for me was hanging on to thousands of years of faith as embodied in that Sefer Torah, as embodied in that Sefer Torah that was sitting in the ark, to be able to hold on to it, and in some way to be able to pass it on to a young man who was carrying it around, allowed me to stand upright and to not keel over. The second reading from a week before, which I wrote, was in response to one of my support group who said, "You owe it to us to let us know how being a rabbi has influenced you throughout this journey." And so it is as I conclude this sort of recollection of the past year I will share with you. I wrote, "I'm doing okay, although the long-term impact of months of sleep deprivation and the discomfort of the side effects have worn me out. I want to address one final question, which you asked me. The question is how this has affected me as a rabbi dealing with this illness and ministering to the needs of others. I've thought a great deal about this and will share some private, intimate thoughts about my rabbinate and about the disease. I have learned, and this is something that I hope as you take with anything that I've shared with you, if you take anything with you, I hope that in your return here late this afternoon and early this evening, that you will take these words with you, because I learned that being a presence to others is the holiest thing that we can do. When Barbara Streisand sings that people who need people are the luckiest people in the world, she sings about something quite profound. I have learned that the real strength for me was in realizing that we can and we do help each other, and that all of us can both give and be the recipient of that support. I may be a rabbi, but none of you reading this or listening to this now are rabbis, and yet you have all made my life richer by your comments, your concern, by your obnoxious comments that you've shared with me, and your love. I feel buoyed and strengthened by your friendship. And for a guy who likes to talk, I don't have words enough to thank you for all you have meant and mean to me. I've learned that I have doubts, and because of these doubts, I hope I can be more present for others, recognizing that all of us, if we look deep inside our souls, have our own fears and our own uncertainties. I think that during this week, when I commemorate the Yahrzeits, the custom of remembering the anniversary of the loved one's passing of my parents, about the doubts that my dad might have had, and wonder if some of the things that were so much a part of his personality were due to concern about his ability or lack thereof to express his own doubts, I have learned that we do not have all the answers, but if we search for meaning in our lives together, if we try to leave that forest together, knowing that the ways from which we have come may not have been the way out, but that together we may be able to find the way out, that these answers are not what is important, but rather the journey to find meaning is what is important. The journey, as somebody pointed out to us, actually Preston Neeble said, if you go past the moving place on Rolling Road, it says something as to the effect of the reward is the journey, or some words to that effect. I remember how at one point my mother shared with us at our wedding that the moment of absolute certainty never arrives. And so it is that whatever our doubts, the moment of absolute certainty never arrives. Some of you may remember, as I wrote in this piece, that I've had to learn and have learned to laugh when certain things that we take for granted don't happen quite the way we expect. There was one time, some of you may remember, when Bill Korth did his Godfather imitation, and it was just impossible to laugh, and to just laugh. And sometimes in that moment, what I took from that moment is that the only protection we have from our doubt is to sometimes laugh, and sometimes to just let it take us, but not to take us to despair, to take us on a search, on a journey to find new meaning. I have learned that being able to listen to people's fears and not judge them is an extraordinary gift that many of you have shared with me, and I hope that I can share with others as I grow in my rabbinate. I sometimes think and still wonder if some of you, especially those of you who have endured these talks for now the last 24 hours or so, believe that somehow I have wimped out through this journey. But if you think this, you have been able to support me anyway in your presence and in your responses. I continued to write, as I mentioned earlier, but it's important for me to reiterate it. When Adam was sick, when he was younger, I remember that when Sue and I had to decide if we wanted to fill him with horrible chemicals in order to cure him, the doctor asked us how we would advise others if I was the rabbi trying to help them to decide what to do. I remember the biblical verses in the book of Deuteronomy to which I referred earlier that say, God places before us life and death. Therefore, choose life. I have learned the power of choosing life, and the ability we all have to help enhance the life of others and the lives of others is truly a divine gift. I realize that life is such a precious gift, and I am so lucky, and we are all so lucky when we help others live richer, more meaningful lives. And I hope that each of us will not squander our gifts with the petty worries and concerns that can bring us down and sometimes consume us. Although, as I wrote this, when the Cubs beat the White Sox that day, it did bring me down a bit. Finally, I must share a few of the words, which I believe may be the most from one of the most meaningful songs that I know that sustained me through the journey and reminded me to enjoy what I hope will be a wondrous change in me. A fool sat beneath the olive tree. What a wondrous thought had he, but alas, it was very, very deep. And so he turned and went to sleep. They have a word. The word is fool. Why be content with an olive, the song goes on, when you could have the tree? Why be content to be nothing when there is nothing you couldn't be? Why be content with one olive tree when you could have the whole olive grove? Why be content with the grove when you could have the world? The song continues from Kismet. I stepped from behind the olive tree. What a wondrous change in me. And the question I raised, and the question I raise with all of us as we journey forward into the new year, what will the wondrous changes be in us as we step from beneath the olive tree of sharing this journey? Perhaps not being able to sleep has been a reminder to me, both in the song and in my own personal life, to act on significant thoughts and not put them to sleep, but to dream those dreams, to make them pleasant realities for those we can help, and to be able to move forward in our journeys, not asleep, but awake to the realization that our lives can and do make a difference if we let them. So I wrote, in conclusion to this, and what I say in conclusion to you as we journey forward into Ne'ilah, as we open the gates, of our own hearts one more time before the gates of repentance close, as we strive to be able to sort of sneak into that place that we've been striving to find throughout this holiday period, that we go forward in the way that the Gaelic blessing suggests. May the roads rise with us. May the wind always be at our backs. May God hold us in the hollow of God's hand as together we go forward from here to Ne'ila and from Ne'ila outside of here, hoping and praying that we can make a difference, that the wondrous change in us will be that we will have found a pathway toward having the courage to make our lives a blessing. I don't know if I'm going to get there. I don't know if you're going to get there. But if we journey in our own ways, joining together when we need to, if we listen to the blast of the shofar when we leave here, and listen to that still small voice of our conscience, and that still small voice of our heart and soul, then I think that we can journey to a place and a space where we will find at least one way in which each and every one of us can find the courage to make our lives a blessing. As we now invite Carolyn to please come forward, as we turn to our Ne'ila service, which may be found on page 760.